Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, you slept for a long time.
Do you have any nice dreams?
No, I think you should wake up. Let's just get up and go right
now. Let's have some breakfast. Let's go.
Let's go.
It's the Phantom Family Podcast.
Why, hello there. I am Tori Phantom here with my husband, Jimothy.
That's me, Jimothy.
It is still you after all of this time.
Believe it or not.
Yes, and you are listening to the Phantom Family Podcast once again, my friends.
Once again, thank you for sticking with us. We've had a lot of requests for us to do a new episode.
And yeah, a lot, for a lot of weeks. Sorry about that, besties.
Sorry, very sorry. You know, it's been very busy. We've been dealing with sickness. We've been dealing with tiredness, work schedules, pretty much
laziness. Honestly, also.
Listen, we don't talk about lazy.
No, we don't talk about Bruno. We do talk about being lazy.
Are we still not talking about Bruno? Are we not over that?
Talk about Bruno. I mean,
I think we're over that.
I thought we were over it, but then it was the Oscars. They did a horrible rendition of "We Don't Talk About Bruno," and now we're here.
So let's recap the Oscars.
No, we're not going to do that because the only thing to talk about from that was how bad the "We Don't Talk About Bruno" was.
I was going to talk about Lady Gaga being a very, very kind soul.
Liza Minnelli, right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that was so sweet.
I've got you.
But do you remember, you told me the other day that you got a tweet on our Phantom Family Pod Twitter.
I've gotten a couple. Well, I got one last month in March of 2022, as we are recording this April 8th, 2022. Last year, somewhere around Halloween or so, we were talking about something, and I remember telling you, like, oh, it'll be a little more timely. You know, it's not like somebody's going to be out there listening in April of 2022. And then I said, but if you are listening in April of 2022, shoot me a tweet. Let me know. Phantom Family Pod. And then I got some tweets last month in March saying, it's not April, but it's March and I'm listening. And I got one a couple of days ago as well. Someone saying, it is April 2022 and I am definitely listening right now. So that was awesome.
Yes. Yes. That was an October episode I am very much like, this is the time I'm doing this. And Jim's like, you don't need to do that, but I'm going to continue doing that. So if you are listening to this in September 2022, tell us that.
Specifically September 17th. If you're listening on September 17th, 2022, call my cell phone number.
We're not going to give out your phone number,
okay,
actually.
Just tweet at us.
Yeah, just tweet.
You can just tweet
That's
us.
That's probably the better idea.
Phantom Family Pod or Phantom Family.
I don't even know what our Twitter is, if I'm being honest, but you can find me on Twitter at Tori Phantom. So sometimes I tweet like once every 3 months. They're pretty good.
At Jimothy Strange on Twitter. I do some fun stuff on
there. Do you?
Yeah, I post.
Open that app like once every 3 months because it stresses me out.
That's where my paranormal stuff goes. It's really the only thing I do anything with is I do my paranormal posting and all that on the Twitter at Jimothy Strange. Follow me there. Have some fun.
I'm not going to follow you.
That's fine. I'm not mad. I'm not surprised, but I'm not mad.
I think I do follow you. That's
so
not really the
So what's
point.
What's been new with you? Let's what's recap your last 2 months. Give me two highlights.
Too hot. What is time?
Okay, I'll start first. I got a promotion at work, and
congratulations.
It's made life harder there and work harder there, but the paycheck was a little bit better. So
congratulations.
That's a little bit of lubricant to the wound.
Lubricant
to the wound. And other than that, we. Okay, really? That's just the one highlight. That's all I got. Everything else has been exactly the same as where we left off. we got new tattoos. We got some new tattoos.
Yeah,
If you're on YouTube, you can see them.
Yeah, on YouTube. What does YouTube have to do with our tattoos?
Because there's a video, and you can't see the video if you're listening to a podcast.
Is there a YouTube video of our tattoos?
They're on our bodies right now as we held up our arms. We're on camera.
Hang on. I got confused. Because I've made TikToks about the tattoos. So listen, I had already made content about all of the tattoos. So when you're talking about YouTube, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, they're on TikTok. And then I remembered that we put this podcast on YouTube.
Friends, it's been a long week.
It's been a long year, and it's only April. Oh my goodness.
That's where we are right now. Exactly the same as you left us.
Yeah. This last week has been, it's been a week. The stomach bug went through our house and I thought I would get out of getting it, as it were, because Saturday, Squirrely Girl got sick. She was sick for 2 days. Monday, Beanie Baby got sick. She was sick for 2 days. Wednesday evening, Pumpkin Pie got it. And I'm sitting here, I was the one cleaning it all up. I will not give details. That's a sensitive thing for a lot of people. But you know what a stomach bug is. I cleaned it all up. And I was like, Wednesday night at the third kid, I was like, I'm fine. Like, I'm fine. Thursday morning, I woke up and I was not fine. But for me, it was only one day. So, you know.
And for me, I was mostly fine. My stomach's been hurting all week, but I had mostly been fine as well. And then I was sitting at work, and all of a sudden I was like, hey, I recognize this feeling. This isn't good.
This isn't fun.
I casually strolled to the bathroom with all kinds of thoughts in my mind, because our men's room,
go into grave detail.
Let me speak. Okay. I was going to the bathroom with all these thoughts in my head of, we only have one stall in there. What am I going to do if it's occupied? And I had many different options. I had strategies A through D lined up. Luckily, there was no one in there. I can't physically regurgitate anything. So
I feel like the word regurgitate is worse than any of the other
vomit?
Words. Yeah.
Okay, well, then
we're just going to move past the stomach
bag. But I'm feeling much better. You're feeling much better. All the kids are great.
Yes, we're all much better.
Yes.
We're all much better. My 9-year-old came to me today because it's been their spring break. That's what stinks about the whole thing. They were all sick all week, and it was spring break. We didn't do anything fun. We literally sat in my house being sick for a week, and now everyone's feeling better. My 9-year-old says to me, I'm placing a grocery order today because I wasn't going to go in the store. Like, I don't want to go into a store when we could still be contagious. And so I'm placing the order. I asked if anyone wanted anything, and my 9-year-old's like, you know, Mom, it's been a rough spring break. And I was like, yeah, I agree. And she's like, and you know, we didn't do anything fun. And I was like, yeah, I know, it stinks, I'm sorry. And she's like, well, you know what I think might be a good way to end spring break? And I was like, well, what's that? And she says, a good dinner. And I was like, yeah, what are you thinking? And she's like, steak. So anyway, like, I had to spend a lot of money on steak today, but I think that makes her happy, and it was worth it because I also enjoy steak.
I love steak. I like my steak to be nice and rare, nice and medium rare. I like my steak to be like compliments received by myself, which are super rare.
Do you need a hug?
I don't want a hug right now. What I want is to read a book of compliments. And I want it to be read to me by some celebrity like Liam Neeson.
I have no idea who that is.
He's got a very particular set of skills. And if but anyway, you can get him to read you books if you listen to
Liam Neeson.
It doesn't matter who he is. He is a celebrity who has a great voice.
Okay.
He's from Taken.
I know that movie. Which one is he in that movie?
He's the guy with the particular set of skills. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're calling from, but I promise you I'll come after my daughter.
Oh, so the dad? I don't remember his face.
The daughter was taken, and he
But it was the dad?
Audible.com has a free trial. If you go to audibletrial.com/phantom, you can get a free month trial. And there's all kinds of audiobooks on there. You get to keep it for free forever. If you decide to keep it up, it's only $14.95 per month. After that, you get a free credit. Unless you're a Prime member, then you get 2 credits. That's going to come to you every single month. Try it out. If you've never had Audible before, it's great. So audibletrial.com/phantom. Check it out. Do the thing. You hear that, Tori?
I do hear that, Jimmy. I hear.
It's not my heartbeat. It's a drum roll.
A drum roll.
A drum roll.
A drum roll.
Yes, it's a drum roll.
What are we drum rolling?
For this episode.
Why?
Because normally we would say, oh, hi, and there would be a segue here.
Where we bring up the topic in a way that seems like we weren't planning to bring up the topic, but we absolutely
but it was planned.
It was planned, yeah.
Yeah, normally we'd say something like, hey, do you remember that time that your parents wouldn't let you wear shoes to school? And then you'd be like, yeah, here's how I dealt with it.
Oh,
here's
I have
what we
trauma
do with
that
kids.
Has to do with my parents and shoes. Trauma dump. One time when I was like 9 years old, I couldn't find my shoes for school, right? Like I couldn't find them. I was missing one shoe. I missed the school bus and my mom was just screaming at me, right? Like just, she was mad. There was just rage because I couldn't find my shoe. And that went on for like 30 minutes. I couldn't find my shoe, especially because she was screaming at me, you see. And when someone is screaming at you, it makes it really hard to think clearly and get things done. I did end up finding the shoe behind my bedroom door, but had my mother not been screaming at me and threatening me, I probably would have found it sooner. But that's my trauma of my mom and shoes. Anyway, what's this week's episode?
It's about screaming about shoes.
Oh, so interesting.
When I was a child, no, it's a question and answer episode. You put out a Q&A
on... I put out a Q&A on Instagram. Tori.Phantom, follow me there, friends.
You put out a Q&A on Instagram. People should follow you there. You posted this question. We took some of the good ones here. So we've got a nice handful of questions, and we're going to start them off right now. Question number one. This comes from user cquick26. What did you do for work before social media? What does Jimothy do? What Jimothy does is make people feel uncomfortable and awkward, and I do it very well.
What do you do for work?
I have two jobs. I'm a radio DJ, and I am also a customer. I am an executive officer, is what my name is.
Fancy.
It is now, according to this letter. This is my promotion letter, actually, right here.
So cool.
I'm an executive officer for customer service for a packaging film company. We make films that think about, like, the first thing that comes to mind is one of the salespeople. Yes, the wrappers, if you buy, like, the single-serving Pop-Tarts. The plastic wrapper on cigarettes. That none of you should know about that because they're awful and bad. But the plastic wrap on there,
bringing up
because one of the salespeople showed me it and he showed me what kind of film it was the other day. The kind of like, you know, on like a Hungry Man film or like TV dinners, there's like the plastic.
I love TV dinners.
That's film that we make just like that. The metallic film, like for potato chips.
And you just deal with the customers, like the companies who buy that from your company.
We make the raw film, customers buy it and they convert
it
into
the packaging. And you're the middleman, you're the customer service guy.
I'm not even the middleman.
Because you're the customer service guy. You be customer servicing.
I'm the one who gets the order from the customer. They don't make any of the stuff.
I have no idea what you do for work, if I'm being honest, as it turns out. That's what it sounds like.
I got a whole folder of orders here because I forgot to bring them back to work after I went home sick yesterday. So that's what it is. Those are all the orders.
Okay, so what did I do before social media? That's a great question. Thank you for asking.
CQuake 26.
So the last time that I worked an in-person job was in 2015. I graduated high school. I was working at Taco Bell, worked there for a while. I left Taco Bell. I had my first daughter at 19. And I went back to school. I dropped out of school. I went and worked at a call center for a cable company. And after that, while I was working there, I interviewed for this other company. And someone sitting next to me was one of the managers who interviewed me. And I got hired. I fooled him into thinking I knew anything about technology.
You fooled everybody in there.
I fooled everyone into thinking I was a tech person. I got hired as a senior tech at a company that I did not know what I was doing, and I made it work until the company went under, which was not my fault, actually.
I'm going to tell you something. I was a supervisor there, and I didn't know how to... I was a tech support supervisor. I didn't know how to do any of this stuff. Yeah. I would just be like,
That's the truth of how we met. It was at that company, and he was the supervisor, the tech supervisor. I was a senior tech. And then we got laid off. I went back to school, finished my degree in health information technology. I planned to go back to work. And then my five-year-old was born. She's medically complex. I could not go back to work. So that's what I did. And then the pandemic happened and I signed on to TikTok and started making cooking videos as like a creative outlet for my anxiety. And here I am in a podcast now.
I like this. If anyone ever needs a video resume, you've just done it.
I've just done
it. We'll save this clip. We'll just send it to them. That's it.
That's it. Yeah.
Perfection.
That's the truth.
So that is what we did. That's what I do. I do a little TikToking. I don't make any money from it. I don't do anything. I don't have sponsorships. I don't have anything. But you know what I have? Our friends. And the real sponsorships are the friends we made along the way.
Jinx.
That's true. Nope, I said that's true while you said Jinx.
So close to Jinx.
So close, yet so far.
So close, so far. Question number two. Read it, Jimothy.
Question number two says, how do you deal with mom guilt, especially when you mess up and you yell? Even with apologies, I feel awful. That comes from user Annie Lee May.
Okay, so I love this question. That's why I picked it. I love this question because I think mom guilt is such a prevalent feeling and topic, and something that I feel that media and social media really pushes onto us. Like with the idea, you look at like Instagram perfect families, you see any sort of parenting content. And I would say I'm probably guilty of it too in the way that I present parenting content. Now I do try to at least like humanize myself through my parenting content. Like I've made videos about when I've been the one who's wrong, but the reality is not everyone sees every video. And if you look at my content or any mom content, it can make you feel bad. Like, wow, why am I not perfect? And the truth is that any parent you see on social media is still a full human who makes mistakes and is not a perfect parent.
Nobody's perfect.
But even if you pull out the idea of social media and media and things that we compare ourselves to, it is still a big problem of mom guilt because we don't want to treat our kids badly. We don't want to yell. We don't want to react poorly or snap at our children. And the reality of it is that sometimes we do. When we're trying our best, sometimes our feelings, our mood, whatever, doesn't align and we yell at our kids and then we feel bad about it. And, you know, if you are a gentle parent or any kind of parent, I mean, I can't speak for other parenting styles, but I know like the way that I am, if I snap at my kids or if I yell, whatever, like I'm holding myself accountable. I'm apologizing for it. And I'm talking to them about it. I'm talking through that with them. Like, this is, you know, kind of how I got to this point, and it shouldn't have been, and I need to do better next time. But
you're gonna knock my drink over. Talk with your hands.
I can't help it. But you know, it's tricky in that way that like we're apologizing, but then it still feels like when you're laying in bed at night and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I shouldn't have yelled. It doesn't matter that I apologized. It doesn't matter that I apologized. It doesn't matter that the rest of our day was good. There was that one moment that was bad, and I'm really upset with myself. I feel really guilty. My kids deserve better. How can I break the cycle if I'm yelling at my kids, et cetera, et cetera? However, I want you to know, if you're listening to me right now, that you don't need to feel guilty. This took me a long time to realize. That
even me,
even yeah,
thank you.
If you are the type of parent who gets upset sometimes and yells at your kids sometimes and apologizes to your kids when that happens, that's a good thing because your kids, much like you, are going to have a full range of emotions. Your kids are going to feel mad sometimes. They're going to react poorly sometimes, just like you did. And in that moment, when you recognize that you react poorly and you apologize to them, you have just set the example that it is okay and that we can hold ourselves accountable, apologize, move on, and try harder to do better. It's not a bad thing to sometimes lose it and yell at our kids and apologize after. I think it's a good example. We can't expect to be perfect all the time. I don't think that would be a good example for our kids if we never felt any emotion besides happiness.
I felt some emotions last night. I was watching the top 10 saddest moments in professional wrestling, and I cried at 8 out of the 10.
He was crying.
I could not hold my emotions in. You know what the number one saddest one is? I'm going to ruin the video for you if you haven't watched it. It was the AEW tribute episode to Brody Lee. I wept like a baby. No, I wept like a big sad man, which is way worse than a baby.
No, it's not way worse. You stop that right now.
No, it's worse because
big men are allowed to feel sad.
No, it was more uncontrolled. I had no control over that. At least
that's fine.
No, at least when a baby is crying, there's something you can do. It's hungry. It's something. I just wanted to release emotions, and there were a lot of them that came out. Me watching a wrestling video.
That's good.
When Shawn Michaels.
You stop it. It's good to feel, to let the cries out. We all have to cry sometimes. Sometimes we have to find the trigger to let the cry out. And you did that. I'm proud of you.
Well, geesh darn it. Watching Shawn Michaels say, I love you. I'm sorry. Right before he super kicks Ric Flair to pin him at the retirement match will make me cry every week. You put it on right now. I will sob uncontrollably.
That's good.
I will weep
get
openly.
Get it out.
I got it out last night. I could probably watch it. You know what else? Can I tell you one other thing that makes me really sad?
It
actually makes me cry before we move on to the next question. I was watching what's that documentary? Ken Burns. I was watching the documentary Ken Burns did on country music, of all things. And it got to the George Jones part. And when George Jones passed away, he was very good friends with Vince Gill. Who, I don't know if you know who Vince Gill is. Vince Gill, very talented. He had a great solo career. He was in like some stuff before. He currently plays with the Eagles, the real Eagles, not Hotel California, who we saw, which were awesome. But Vince Gill now plays with the Eagles. They're really the three Eagles because there's only Timothy B. Schmidt, Joe Walsh, and Don Henley.
Can we get
doesn't
to the part
matter.
Where you cry?
When he was singing Go Rest High on That Mountain, but he was like best friends with George Jones. And like the video that shows him, he's like sobbing like as he's like singing because he's just like losing it because he's so sad that his friend was gone. Seeing that real emotion makes me feel real emotion. And I think that's what it is about wrestling. Like I have a connection to wrestling. I grew up watching it. These are people who I enjoy.
Yeah.
And seeing them like actively sad makes me actively sad.
That's a fair thing. That's not anything to be ashamed of.
No, I'm not saying it's just weird
to
me that it's
wrestling
is what does it. Do you
know the random like very specific thing that makes me cry?
What?
Okay, so if you listen to the movie soundtrack for the musical Rent. But it's the I'll Cover You reprise, right? It's at Angel's funeral where Jesse L. Martin is singing the I'll Cover You reprise because I'll Cover You is the most romantic song ever written. You can't change my mind. But during the I'll Cover You reprise, it is a specific line in the movie soundtrack where he sings, when your heart has expired, there's a crack in his voice. The power in that specific line, it breaks my soul every single time.
I feel like you're getting emotional now. I was holding it together. You look like you want to cry. Do you want to?
I always want to cry, Jim.
Do you want to take a cry break?
We
don't have time. Question number three. Also, my answer for that, I don't feel mom guilt. But anytime I yell at the kids, I will stop and apologize. Even the oldest who I played a trick on the other day and said, oh, if you can guess which hand the $100 bill is in.
We should tell that story real quick. So Jim is a trickster.
We can't get through a podcast.
I think this is a good story to tell because this kind of talks about how parenting, like if you have a privileged situation and you do have two parents in the home, how that's really the kind of privilege that comes with that. So the other day, I was looking for my 9-year-old. I say looking for like I hadn't seen her 20 minutes prior, but I was like calling her name and she's not responding. And I go in her room and I hear a sniffle. She's in her closet. She's upset. She's crying. And so what did I do? I opened the closet door. I got in the closet. I closed the closet door and I sat down next to her and I asked her what was wrong. And she was crying because Jimothy played a trick on her. Not a mean trick, but a trick he's played too many times and it wasn't funny anymore. It was funny the first few times because he'll play a trick every now and then. It's not like he's doing this weekly. Like, to be clear, it's not like he's tormenting her with this, but he's done it a few times because she's old enough that now money has meaning to her because she's got video games she wants to buy, like whatever. And he had like a $100 bill and he had said, like, if you pick which hand the $100 bill is in,
you
get it.
You can have it.
Now, the trick is that he put the $100 bill in the back of his pants, right?
But if you pick wrong, I get your money out of your piggy
bank. I didn't know that part. But so either way, she didn't pick the right hand because it wasn't in any hand. And he didn't take her money either, right? It was just a trick. And they've done this before and she's laughed about it.
Well, I did it recently because I said, pick which hand you get. It's like put all of your money. And I did the let's make a deal. I said, if you give mom all of your money, because she had $45 and I had a 50. And she didn't know that I had a 50. I said, I will trade you the amount of money that I have in my hand for what you have. I said, do you want to trade me? I said, you could end up with more. You could end up with less. Do you want to make a deal? and mom convinced her to make a deal.
Because I knew what he had.
Yeah. I really just wanted to break a 50. I just wanted to change for it, and I knew she had it, and I didn't care about it. I'm like, I'll take $5 to give my kid $5, and then she gets a $50 bill, and it's like, wow, this is really cool. Yeah. So that's fine with me. We both were benefiting in that situation. Right. But this time...
So there's been situations where she's benefited from it, but I think the joke was getting old for her, and it just hurt her feelings. So she is upset about it.
We can play the game right now.
And I was talking to her about it, and she's like, it just hurts my feelings because I feel like I can never win. I can never win. And I was like, and I talked to her and I said, do you want me to talk to Jim for you? And she said, yeah, I do. And so I went and I told him, I was like, dude, you hurt her feelings. Like, she's upset about this. And what he did is he went and he talked to her and he apologized and he's not going to play that game anymore. You know, like, it was fun until
not
it wasn't.
I feel like there's
so many things in life, like, especially when we're talking about kids, where it's fun until it isn't. Think about, like, because, you know, like in our home, we've talked about this on previous episodes with, like, tickling. We only tickle if they say we want tickles. And the second they say stop, we stop. Right. Yeah. Because like when I was a kid, like my parents or like family, whatever, they tickle you and like you can't help but laugh. But then it's like, this isn't fun, but I can't help it. What did you just do?
I'm trying to adjust my mic stand.
Well, you just messed up the whole camera.
I see that. So tickling is bad. Until it's not, or tickling is fun until it's not. It's because I'm trying to adjust this. This we need a new mic stand, basically, is the long and short of it.
This is fun.
That's foobard. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just turn it. We'll cut it. I got magical editing skills. I'm going to leave all this in, actually.
Don't even edit it.
I'll just leave it all in. So...
Nothing happened. This is fine.
This is what we do.
This is normal.
Yeah, this is just how we live our lives. So, anyway, that's
it's
tickling.
Fun until it isn't, and when your kid says it isn't fun, it's time to move on from that joke.
So I talked to her, and then she was fine with it after. She said she was more sad that she wasn't. I said, you know, I wasn't going to take your money, right? And she goes, I don't really care about that. She said, I was more sad that I wasn't getting money. I was like, oh.
Mood.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Question number three, after we have gotten everything back together here. Any tips for moving in together after getting married? We've got 2 months to prep. That's from Zimmerpants. I don't think either of us are qualified to answer this question
at all. So the story of how Jim moved in with me. We'll give you a quick rundown. When Jim and I met,
you want me to do it so that it is actually quick?
No, I can be quick. Watch. I'm going to prove myself. All right. When Jim and I met, he had a girlfriend. We became friends because we worked together. We were just friends. And they were in a bad relationship. They broke up. He was staying with her because he wanted to, you know, he had already paid rent for the month. He needed time to find a new apartment. But even though they were broken up, they got into a fight. And that was like one of the first times we were ever supposed to hang out. And he texted me and he's like, I have to cancel on you because I have to find somewhere to stay because I can't stay here. And
that
so,
was my fault, though.
And I texted him back and I was like, well, I have a couch that you can stay on until you find a place. And he's like, really? Thank you. And so I let him come and stay on my couch. And then he did find a place, but he never moved into it because at that point we started. Well, you kind of did, but you never stayed there. Maybe one night?
I stayed one night.
One night, yeah. So he moved in with me. He stayed on my couch for a month and then he went and stayed at his new place for one night. And then that point we started dating. It wasn't until weeks later that I admitted you were my boyfriend.
I remember the moment that I asked you about that. I don't know if you do or not, but we can't tell that story.
I don't, but now I'm interested.
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
But we did. You spent the night with me at the apartment once.
Yeah, I had a panic attack. I hated it there.
You made me sleep on the couch.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I did not like it in your apartment. I don't like sleeping out of my house.
To be fair, it was in the middle of downtown Schenectady, which is much nicer now than it was when I
don't.
I
don't like sleepovers anyway.
It's all right. I found half a gun on the sidewalk outside my apartment. That was a weird day.
That was a weird day. I didn't like it there. And I didn't like that it wasn't my house, but I did like your shower there. And then you thought there was like
grease
on the shower, but it was just my mascara from me wiping my mascara on the towel because back then I didn't know how to use makeup remover. But anyway, we don't have advice for how to prepare to move in because we just did. And then after that, we were like, oh, I guess we're dating. And then we had a baby, and then after that, we got married.
Yeah.
So,
I guess any tips for first moving in together?
Probably meet first.
I mean, we met.
Yeah, that's my tip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ask the basic questions like, do you like sharing toothbrushes? Do you hang the toilet paper?
Do you like,
mullet or beard? How do you do it?
Like, do you like sharing toothbrushes?
I hate it.
Sorry.
I hate the fact I have always hated people sharing my toothbrush. My ex used to do it, and she's my ex for a reason.
I stopped using your toothbrush like a year ago. So
you should have stopped never ago.
Does that mean I can use it again?
No, that's not what that means. I know what I said, but I know what I meant.
All right.
Don't use my toothbrush.
I'm not using it.
I'm going to start brushing my butt with it. How are you going to like that? Butt mouth.
How are you going to like that?
It's my butt. I don't care. Everybody loves their own brand. So question number four. How do you handle stress levels when your little ones are upset? That comes from Imogen Hudazen.
Okay.
I don't know how I just wrote that phonetically of how you said it to me. So.
That's not the last part of the name. It was Imogen, and I said the rest of it. And
Imogen who days in.
Okay. All right. Cool. Anyway.
Leave the light on for you. That's Motel 6.
How do you handle stress levels when the little ones are upset?
I come upstairs and hide and let you deal with it.
Okay.
How do you do it, though?
Whenever the kids are upset, like we're talking like tantrum level, what I do is I like to stay goal oriented. So I keep in my mind, I think the best way to prepare for your kids throwing a tantrum is to think about how you want to deal with their tantrum while they're not tantruming, because then it's already in your head. It's like a coping mechanism. Think about how we deal with stress. I mean, I'm saying that from a therapist. Like mindset, like I have coping mechanisms that I know about when I'm not upset that I can implement when I am upset. But I think that works in parenting too. So that being said, I know when my kids are upset that this is temporary and I don't want to add into this problem. So if I lose my mind, I start yelling at them or whatever. Now we're all upset and I have to fix all of that. And then I'm also going to have to deal with the fact that I lost my mind and apologize for that. So I try to stay goal oriented. The goal is to chill the babies out so we can problem solve. And so a lot of the time I use humor for that. It works really well with my kids. You know, you got to read the room. It's not always the right time to use humor. But co-regulation is a good thing, you know, but when we're dealing with the stress of our kids losing it and the coping mechanisms aren't working, I think a mommy timeout is a good idea, or parent timeout, really. And the way that works in my house is I will say to my kids, like, I am getting really upset and I don't want to yell at you. And I feel like I'm not handling my feelings right now. So I need a minute to breathe. Right. So as long as the kiddos are safe, and we tell them where we are, we can say, I'm going to take a minute in this place. Like for me, it's like the stairwell. So like, I'm going to go sit on the stairs for a few minutes and breathe and center myself. And then I'm going to come back and we can talk about this, because I don't want to yell at you. And I don't feel like I'm doing a good job of controlling my feelings. And I think that's a good thing to communicate that to the kids, right? Because that's not saying like, you're going to make me scream. That's saying I'm not handling this well right now. And I want to handle it well. And so that's kind of like how I do it. But it's also, you know, it is using breathing techniques. One of my favorite breathing techniques is square breathing. I would probably butcher the explanation.
I like to throw it in a circle.
It's very Googleable. Square breathing. It's like a thing that actually like calms your body. Like it's science. There's science behind it. But I really like that. I stay goal oriented. And, you know, once it's the only way out is through. We have to get through the moment to get past the moment. And if we can do that, then it's all good. And it's okay to take a break, because unless it's an emergency, you don't have to deal with it immediately. I say that again. Unless it's an emergency, you don't have to deal with it immediately. So even if your kid like breaks something important to you, if that broken thing is not going to hurt anybody, even if it is, we can clean the broken thing up really quick so that it can't hurt anybody. And we can go take a few minutes and calm down before we deal with it. Like, we can be in control of how we deal with it. So my thing is always to respond, not react. And if I'm reacting to something valuable being broken, that's going to be a big bad reaction. But if I'm responding to it, I'm taking a moment, I'm calming myself down, and then I'm talking about it and why I'm feeling what I'm feeling, and we're doing consequences that way, like related consequences. I'm not just losing it and screaming at my kids.
I like to hold them upside down, not in a threatening way, but it's like a hard reset. So it's just like you pick them up and you give them a big hug upside down. And then they kind of like are like, why am I upside down? And
this
then
only
like
works
literally
with little ones, though.
Yeah.
That's important to note. Toddlers love to be upside down.
Upside down, yeah.
They love to be upside down. If you pick up a baby, what you do, they come up to you and you scoop them under their hips. You flip them upside down and then they're giggling. It's immediate.
Like, why are you giggling? You were mad. Don't you laugh at me. You're mad. And then they just start laughing and they forget why they were ever mad. They just know they have a wet face.
Yeah. The hard reset works sometimes.
That's
but when they get older, you have to use more words.
Yeah. Cause if I turn the 10-year-old upside down, she's gonna be mad and confused.
And it would probably hurt because she's like bony
she's
now.
She's very bony.
And she's not 10. Don't rush her.
She's got about 22 days and 1 hour, 28 minutes, and 42 seconds.
Shut up.
Wow. I'm not dealing with my stress levels very well right now. I'm gonna take a drink of my sweet tea. A little clinky clink.
Okay, what's the next question?
I think we got time for this one. This is from Ahili. What's been the hardest part of gentle parenting? I'll tell you what's the hardest part of gentle parenting. The kids. Right? 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 Because they don't gentle child. If they gentle child did while we gentle parented, it would be a lot easier.
Yeah, Mama Cuss has made a video about just that today, and I really liked her video because
did she say exactly that?
She did, because the truth is kids are never going to gentle child.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it, but maybe I am Gwenna, just like we talked about
maybe
earlier.
Maybe you are Gwenna. I don't know. It could be.
I want to be Tabitha, because being Gwenna is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Because she's really good at being Gwenna.
You are way better at being a Tabitha.
Oh, I'd be way better.
Hi. Anyway.
This is my mason jar.
It was a good joke.
It was not made
by a
mason.
It was a great joke. Anyway, but the hardest part about gentle parenting is dealing with your own problems. Because gentle parenting, now I said this before, I'll say it a million times again, is that I hate the term gentle parenting. I hate it. I hate it a lot. Not my favorite term. Because for someone who does not practice the gentle parenting thing, which I didn't even know was the name for my parenting type until I got on the internet, but
who knew?
Gentle parenting to someone who isn't a gentle parent comes off as permissive parenting because of the term gentle in connotation of parenting seems permissive.
You mean you let your kids say no to you?
Which I do let my kids say no to me. But it's this idea that gentle parenting means that you let your kids walk all over you. There's no rules, boundaries, expectations. It's gentle. It's gentle. It's not. You don't have to be gentle all the time to be a gentle parent. It's really more about recognizing your own triggers. It's about figuring out your own issues and working through them and not projecting our own stuff onto our kids. And I think that's really the hardest part of it is the mental health portion of gentle parenting, because it's a lot of work as a person. But I think, like, even if you're not a parent, it's important work to do to recognize your triggers and your traumas and working on those, because I think that's a huge part of gentle parenting is to do that work.
It's true. Finding a good therapist is important. I had a great one, but my insurance said,
yes,
no, you're not allowed.
And I do want to say, too, that, like, I understand that therapy is not accessible to everyone. Like, I talk about therapy a lot now because I'm in therapy now. I didn't start therapy until October 2021. So I spent most of my life untherapized. I mean, there was short bouts, a couple sessions here and there, but nothing to really do the work. But you can work on your mental health. You can help yourself, and that's not easy. I don't want to make that out to be like dismissive, like just help yourself. It's not easy. It's a lot of hard work, and not everyone is capable of doing it at any given time. So I don't want to make anyone feel small or bad if they're not able to do that right now, if they don't have access to it, if they don't have the spoons to do it. But I'm just like, from my own perspective, that's been the hardest part of gentle parenting for me.
Okay. For me, it's being a parent. I'm a go with the flow kind of a dad, and I just be hanging out. We play Switch a lot. We play games. Basically, you're my parent too, so that's probably harder for you. That's probably another hard part for you is having the phantom fourth child.
The phantom fourth child,
aka the husband. So there we go. All right. So that's all five of our Q&As. Now. You ready for a little lightning round?
I'm ready for the lightning round. That was the wrong sound for lightning, I think. No.
I don't have a lightning sound on here.
We don't have a lightning sound.
Those are just people screaming happily.
Okay.
All right. Rapid fire lightning round. This is from Pearls Fruity. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much have you grown in the last 1 to 10 years? No. 1 to 10, last 10 years. Go.
Read the question again.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much have you grown in the last 10 years?
12.
Zero, because I have been 5'7" the whole time. Mango's Layer X says, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Some.
All the wood a woodchuck could chuck. Ray Hooser says, why are your flowers dead?
They died.
They are dead. Beesh 15 says, favorite and least favorite type of shoes to wear.
Favorite shoes are my Doc Martens. Least favorite shoes are flip-flops. I don't like wearing open-toed anything.
Favorite shoes for me are any dad-style New Balances. Least favorite would probably be any of those like weird shoes that have like the toe gloves, because that's ain't nobody need to see that. Just take your shoes off. Amberlee0926 says, would you let your kids dye their hair?
Our kids can dye their hair, but they can't bleach their hair because their hair is not fully developed. It would not be very healthy for their scalp or hair. So the dyes that they can use are temporary, that do not involve bleach.
I would also let my kids dye their hair.
It's the same kids.
Some of them.
That's fair.
You don't know about the ones that are not here. There we go. I remembered where the button was.
Okay.
So that was fun.
We should do this more often.
We should do the Q&A once a month because it's easy content and it's fun.
Maybe we should do that over on Patreon, which is where we're starting our Patreon soon.
May 1st, there's a Patreon getting launched. So that's coming. That'll be fun. We should definitely do the
words.
I should learn how to speak. I am a radio DJ on the air, and you would think I would be better. This is why it's a good thing that I record my show instead of doing it live.
Probably.
Because I'm not great at
anyway, Jim, where can they find us?
They can find us all over the internet.
All over the internet.
If you have ideas for submitting things, you should post a thing like once a week for parenting topics because you have an Instagram
more
people than mine.
If there are topics you want to hear about, like specific topics, kind of broad topics that you want to hear our opinions on, go ahead, slide in my DMs on Instagram, tori.phantom. I'd love to hear from you. We want to make podcasts about things you want to hear about.
That's true.
If you're here right now, there's a whole bunch of people here on TikTok right now watching us live.
We do stream on TikTok live when we do these, and eventually we'll go YouTube live, Facebook lives, Instagram lives, any good social media.
You can find Tori Phantom over on Facebook, Tori.Phantom, Instagram, Tori Phantom on Twitter. YouTube is Tori Phantom. I have a lot of just look up Tori Phantom.
If it's on social media, you find Tori Phantom. You can find it. I am,
and if you can find me, you can find him.
And you can find me. What I'm about to say, my actual handles: Jimothy Strange on Instagram. At Jimmy Nips, KNIPPS, the K is silent on Instagram, Jimothy Strange on Twitter, and at Jimothy Beard on TikTok.
You gotta have a universal handle, but that's a lot.
That's why I've worked on establishing the Jimothy Strange brand, but somebody stole my tapestry. I was trying to start a cult.
Anyway, I think it's time to put this thing to bed, Jim.
I forgot we put it to bed, but we will put this boy to bed.
Put it to bed.
So thank you for coming here with us, but it is time to lay your pretty little heads down on that pillow.
I hope you have the sweetest dreams.
Yes. Good night. I'll give you tea in the morning. You don't need it now. It's bad. You already brushed your teeth.
Sleep well, little monkey.
Go to sleep. I love you.
Sleep well. Go to bed. Go to bed.